Welcome to Starfleet Universe Encore. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. Of an SMB Online, thank you, come online, Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We stream every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either go to the Starfleet Universe Encore, well, the Starfleet Universe Online Discord server. Just join the SMB Encore stream voice channel. You can find the invite over on sfuoncall.com website. Also, if you want to watch the stream, the actually video stream, you can go to twitch.tv, that's twitch.tv/sfuoncall to join it, and also you can join the chat there. And of course, you need to contact me for any reason. My email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com, that's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you can follow on the Twitters. You can follow the podcasting out, which is SFU On Call, or my personal account, Paul Franz, PaulFrnz, there's no T in that, and also Franz Games, Franz, Games, and of course, there's no T in that. And of course, I have the My Blues Guy accounts, that's sfuoncall.bscout.social, and franzgames.com. And of course, this lovely TalkCast gets sent to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. Patrick also got a chance to work on the Module K update, though he had a couple days where he couldn't do that just because of he had to go through an interview process to find a cheaper place to go, which is the VA hospital versus where he currently is with like 1/5 the cost if he goes to the VA. When it comes to Albert and Steve Cole, we're working on the 3D printed ships contract, and they should finish the draft Monday to send to the factory. And Actor 3 and Star Armada Rumors of War made minor progress. This week, on found in the online store, we have the F&E Countersheet H, that's from Combined Operations, the CO, and that's 108 counters for pods and other equipment for all the empires, and it's only $2, just $2. So if you need a new copy of the counter sheet, like you lost pieces, because everyone, you know, come on, if you play the game enough, you lose counters. So if you want to buy only $2 for a new counter sheet from ADB, just go to the ADB's StarfleetStore.com and you will find them in their catalog. When it comes to the SFU Online tournaments, we have Sapphire Star 19 tournament. Round two, the three out of four games completed. We have one game which is taking a little too long. I screwed up and I didn't keep an eye on that one. But at the same time, I heard nothing from them. I did email them, say, okay, where's it going, guys? I don't remember hearing anything. Actually, I think I saw a post one time on the discussion board, and that's why I didn't bother them, because it looks like they were getting together, but there were some issues and I wasn't contacted. So it's hard to know when there's an issue, no one communicates the issue. You know, you can't resolve a problem if there's no communication that there is a problem. You know, that happens. And of course, the 500 BBT tournament, games number 1.2 and 1.3 are completed. Dromedon, that's me. And Metal Dog, that's Justin, submitting their COs and getting them reviewed by Jeff. Moving onward and forward, nothing happened to online client stuff this week. I was focused a little more on archery stuff because I had a day off for Veterans Day, day for my day job. And I had to work on doing some tuning of that and do a little shopping too. Because I'm going to be going on a little camping trip in the near future, and I need to make sure I had all the equipment that I needed, because it's winter camping. So anyway, moving on and forward, we come to Starfleet Warlord. Diehard 58 and 59 are still going strong. I promise I will get the announcement for the next standard game out this weekend. And I'll move it over to the library report. We have nothing new to report. I had nothing new to report when it comes to SFP Well, the Fed Time Library for this week. So with that, that is news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one and all only Paul Franz welcoming you to Star from the Universe On Call. And tonight, we've got Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And we have, of course, me, which is important. And that is about it for this evening. But tonight we're going to talk about tournaments. Actually, you know, the normal tournament, you know, I'm pretty sure that has not been an update since module T2 1012. That's the last time so it's 13 years ago, the last time that module T was updated. And the question that I bring before us this evening is, given that at this point we're living pretty much in an online world when it comes to the tournaments, or possibly even let's back up. Let's say that is there anything in the tournament rules and tournament setup that needs to be modified for an online world? Because of obviously certain things were previously there and they were meant for a reason because of people had limited amount of time. For example, as I said, the time basis, you were given approximately 3 hours to get your game done. If you don't get it done within, I think it's pretty sure it's 3 hours, then the game was then adjudicated. Why? Because of the game needed to be done within 3 hours, at least close to it anyway, so that people could actually play, you know, because a lot of times when it comes to Origins, you were playing a lot of SAB games, especially in the case of the Patrol Tournament. The Patrol Tournament, the idea is you play as much as possible, and the best people, those they go on to the actual tree, and you play it out. So the idea is you want to play as many games as possible so that you have the possibility, especially if you're winning, to advance. Obviously, when it comes to Origins, one thing that people would do is that people would actually play multiple games. If they were losing constantly, bum, 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 they'd actually re-sign up, and we allowed them to re-sign up in that case. But after the tree was set, you cannot go back in to re-sign up and be part of the tree.
Well, the trees were part of the finals, so...
Exactly, that's exactly. Exactly.
Whereas the round robin aspect of it, it's like you could play five games and, you know, have a plus one or a minus one score.
Right.
And then you could quit and restart.
Mm-hmm. And people would do that. And I have that happen with the Captain's Tournament, where, you know, there was enough people that people actually re-entered. I remember that with...
Well, here's the thought on the time limits. You already set time limits for online play. So I don't think that really needs modified. It should just be left in place in the module, because that's like, if you have an actual tournament at a convention type setting or even a big gaming group weekend, then you really want to enforce that kind of a time limit.
Mm-hmm.
But when we did SFB by email ages ago, the time limits were dictated by the tournament director, who was also basically running the turns together. So.
Well, the tournament director wouldn't be the moderator, always the moderator.
Yeah, but the moderator.
The moderator is the one who would define, in some cases, how fast a turn he would define how fast the turns were processed. But again, mm-hmm. the moderator had to have the orders in a certain fashion. And, you know, yeah, there were time limits when it comes to that. Same, in theory, also there are time limits for the online tournaments. in that you need to get your games done within 2 weeks of the round starting, which, but
Well, yeah, you just had a different set of them based on the thing, and the issue with doing it using your client is that you set time limits for them anyways when you run the tournament, or whoever the tournament director is, they set their time limits for it. So, I mean, that's modifiable by the tournament director.
So the
So,
thing
I
is,
mean, the actual time limit that's in the module itself is for live play at a live event
right.
that is offline. And it is meant for a very good reason, which you were just saying, because you have a limited amount of time over the course of one of those weekends to qualify and get in, and then the rounds themselves, when you're in a tree structure, you have a certain amount of time where everybody needs to be done by, so you can get the thing done during the event and get it done by a very specific deadline with a very specific start time.
Understood.
So.
Yeah. 'Cause, well, one thing that happened, the reason why I even bring up the time limits at all is because of something that happened in the current tournament. Now, this was actually with an active game. So this
The 500-point fleets.
the regular tournament.
Oh, okay.
And it basically was the TKE versus the TKR, i.e., the Tournament King Eagle versus the Tournament Kestrel. And basically, they did a 20-turn game. So it took them a while to play. And it was suggested that basically that we change it. That is, there were certain options that Steve Cole brought up, which was number one, just leave it as is, i.e., if people can get in 20 turns within, the time limit, which should be 2 weeks, then let them go. If people
Yeah,
want to spend
I
20
agree with
turns,
Cole.
go do it.
I totally agree with that.
Number two was limited at 10 turns. And then,
Nope.
and this was for plasma versus plasma only. And have it so that after 10 turns, it would be adjudicated. Another option that he called brought up was the possibility of, okay, remove the PPTs. Have it so you no longer have pseudoplasmas at all, except instead of the limited pseudoplasmas that you currently have. Which is for most of the ships, other than TKE, just the main torps. The F torps were always real, and they don't have any pseudos. And with the major torps, the plasma Fs, the plasma G, or the plasma R, having pseudos.
Okay.
But yeah. Then there was a fourth one, I forget off the top of my head, but what that was.
Yeah.
But overall, the one thing that was brought up to Steve Cole's attention about that was that basically most plasma versus plasma don't go for 20 turns. This was particular for the TKE versus TKR. I'm willing to bet more so for the TKE because the TKE, it doesn't have. It had the punch power, but unlike the other plasma ships, meaning the KR, the TKR, the TFH and the Firehawk and the Gorn, it only has one big torp. And that's the plasma R. So unlike the ones with the plasma S, you can basically every two, you can have do two turns of plasma S and a plasma F, or just a plasma S. So it's dangerous enough that they're not gonna just come directly running in. It could be 30 points against your one shield, and that shield's gone, basically. So you could do that 2 out of 3 turns. It takes 3 turns to recharge the plasma. So you only have 1 turn where you don't have any plasma whatsoever. Or maybe it's a fast load F. Versus the TKE, which has this R, I mean, has the plasma R, which after you launch the plasma R, you don't have a main torp. Your main plasma, your large plasma, is gone. But you can't reload it. It's going to take you 3 turns to reload.
He can't stagger it. Yeah.
Right. So he can't stagger it. So basically, it's only that's the issue with the TKE itself. Obviously, one solution is to remove the TKE from the tournament. If that's much an issue. Now, here's the fun part about that game. The TKE won. Why? Because the TKR ran out of wild weasels. So.
Okay.
Let me get easy. Oh, by the way, hi, Iggy. They're like, wow, that was interesting. But anyway, moving onward, just to get back to last week's question about cloak versus cloak. I know we had a question, and before we started tonight, I wanted to make sure I had an answer for that, because I brought up the Mazda T2000 rulebook.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. Almost did something stupid. Forgive me. Almost off the podcast really fast. And that is right here. Cloaks versus cloaks. In all battles in which most ships have cloaking devices, no ship can remain cloaked for more than 120 impulses total for the entire battle. So that is 4 turns.
Cloak to cloak. And that's cloak versus cloak.
Cloak versus cloak.
This yeah, I thought there was some kind of a time limitation on that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was specific to like Orion versus Orion. No, this includes Orion versus Romulan battles. At the end of the 128th cloak impulse, the cloaking device of the ship has been cloaked for 120 impulse is destroyed, and the ship begins to fade in procedure within the normal sequence of play, i.e., it kind of blows up real good. The
cloaking device goes bye bye.
Well, yeah, cloaking device goes bye bye.
So the ship is like high.
And that's obviously something to keep in mind for those of you who fly cloak versus cloak. Now, that's one thing I did not even discuss with these guys, just to make sure that they were still within the rules, which is, did either one of them cloak? You know?
Doesn't sound like it if he got ate up by, like, running out of wild weasels.
Right. Agreed. I think
probably ended up balleting until he got caught in the corner.
Yeah.
And then he had the weasel and then rebuilt his speed. And if he did, so what, you know? Even if it took 20 turns, were they done within their time limit? They didn't ask for an extension or anything. They didn't ask for an extension,
but I wasn't. As the judge?
I mean, they should be allowed to get as many turns in as they need to.
Yeah. Oh,
at least then they don't have to ask for an adjudication.
Understood. But as you pointed out, there was a time limit. Now, did they go past the time limit? Yes. But as the judge, what I felt about that time limit and letting it go was basically because they were showing progress. It's not like they played and then all of a sudden they stopped playing.
Did they affect the progress of the tournament?
No. Now, the other one, yes, is going to affect the progress of the tournament because of they started to play And then the one player, basically his subscription expired. And this
I see.
was expired 2 weeks ago. And we worked out, okay, that he needs to up his, renew his subscription. Now, I didn't know that his subscription had expired. He did not. I checked the email, and he. Let me. Excuse me. Because I'm not about to let people see my email. Do-do-do. Let's look at this for a moment. Was it Comcast? Yes, it was Comcast. Yes, it was. That is. He basically, all he did was he emailed me saying, "Okay, here's my subscription." But I kind of ignored that part. But he did say, "Okay, can play use the winnings on the 27th to turn winnings to pay for SAP Online." And I said, "No problem." And I told Gene I'd be happy to trade, i.e., they give me $15 to my account. As for ADB's online store, because Lord knows I will buy stuff from them, and I have one in mind right now, which is the Rumors of War for that one. That's what I'm waiting for. And Jean said, "Yeah, we can do that." And she replied on the 3rd of November. So, and then on the 4th, he said, "Can you do this?" Which was basically it's coming up over a week ago, so my fault when it comes to not jumping on that, before last weekend. When it comes to that, but so that halted for him. It halted the game as of like 2 weeks ago at this point. Now, I'm not sure how much. We have some issues, and I'm not about to go through all the issues right now, because of we're working through it through the whole problem. Because, as I mentioned, actually, in the news portion, which is that the other issue and the one of the issues, one I wasn't keeping a close eye on the tournament when it comes to them getting progress. I did not keep an eye to make sure their game was progressing. That was my fault. But at the same time, one of the players, they had a problem with the other player. Seth had problems with Jeff. Problem with that is I got no information from either of them that there was an actual issue, that Seth got a little angry because of things weren't progressing, and he was asked to do something crazy, which I want to talk to Jeff about and going, okay, what the heck's going on? So I need to talk to him about that. But so the pro it wasn't progress. Seth was getting very frustrated by the game. And obviously there's a minor issue that I'm not sure what time zone Seth is in. I know Jeff's in Japan, Japanese time, and normally that's not an issue. There might be an issue now, in which case I would ask him to withdraw from the tournament. But I need to talk to him about that. So,
It depends on who's having the problem too.
right. So
And what the
that game is.
problem is, if he's doing his thing, if he's bending over backwards to make sure that he's on the same time as the guy in the States for coordination time, and the guy in the States isn't showing up, that's not his problem.
Right, understood, understood.
So,
But I'm not gonna discuss that here. I'm not gonna discuss that here.
yeah.
But so that one is actually slowed down the tournament, which actually I'm probably going to one side of the quarterfinals can be played. So we at least have one side of the semifinals completed, possibly. I'm gonna ask them to start their game as soon as possible. I'm not gonna I'm not gonna push them at this point to get it done. But I'm asking them to gently, just get, organize it so you guys get started. We'll deal with the situation because I don't want half it to be done and then the other one you have to wait for another 4 weeks, for with other issues. So that's what we might see. Okay. Now that was one thing I wanted to bring up with the cloak versus cloak. Now, obviously, okay, again, is that a rule that we should modify for online? I'm gonna say no, because even though I think part of the 128 impulses has to do with amount of time that's played in the game. Because again, in the real when you're playing SFB online SFB in real life, on the physical shit and all that kind of thing, which is, trust me, it's when you play it online for so long and then you try to play it on a physical board, it is really weird because you don't have an automatic energy allocation for you. They don't have it so that you just press a button and it'll move the ship on the board. You kind of get spoiled by that. Again, there's something visceral about actually being able to X, the different boxes off the ship to roll the dice and actually physically move the counters. Sorry, I want to make sure about one thing. So in theory, this could be relaxed a little bit for online tournaments just because of we have more time. We're no longer within the 3 hour time limit.
Well, yeah. And you also have a small player base too, so
Yep. And a lot of
don't really need
people,
to be that strict with it.
yeah, and I think, honestly, when it comes to the cloaking, I don't think many people actually, that's fun for them to have to play a sub hunt game, where you're waiting for them to come out of cloak and you can't really do anything except for just run around the board, except for, clothes on them. Of course, at the same time, cloaking has its own detriment in that if you do cloak, you're going to slow down a lot because a lot of your energy is going towards that freaking cloaking device, which means your opponent can easily close the range.
Oh yeah, it's definitely sub hunt time at that point.
Right.
And not only that, he can just overrun your ass and shoot you
Well,
with penalty. Yeah.
that's what I'm pointing out, which is
Yeah.
basically because of, if you're cloaking and you have a closed board, you're going to be slowing down dramatically.
Well,
And
and the thing is, you're not hidden either, so you still have a counter on the map.
right.
So.
Oh, understood. So I, at the moment, I see no reason to change that at all. I don't,
Well, given the general nature of it and the short number of players you got, I see absolutely no reason to change it if it's not really affecting the tournament play, and you set your own time frames anyways. Yeah, you're not hosing over everybody else. Take the time you need.
I was there's other things in here which I don't think I would ever change just because of they have to do with balance without actually changing ship, which actually we can discuss ship changes, but
As much as people might complain about balance issues in it and everything, it's still something that's evolved over a significant amount of time.
yeah.
And tweaking it is like just opening a can of worms.
Oh, agreed. Agreed. Oh, that'd be kind of no neat if we could have that available, which is plasma torpedoes, plasma K torpedoes, which I don't think anyone really wants plasma Ks. They're take plasma D and make it smaller. Make it from a 10-point torpedo down to a 5-point torpedo, you know, which is
Yeah, and the question is,
I
why?
know, exactly. It's kind of nuts. But then it's also not available, which is plasma sabots and plasma carronades. Both of those I think would be interesting to add, but obviously, as I said, you know, that is a balance option, and they don't there's a reason why they don't have those in the tournament. And of course, we have the pseudo Fs. The one thing I would love to I would love to test this out in the tournament. I would love to test this out in the tournament. I
What's
don't think we could ever have a change in the main tournament, but I would love to try this out.
what?
Yeah, Iggy's supposed to be 2 weeks per round, 3 weeks for the first round, and 2 weeks after that. The idea is to keep it going. And that is. Currently, the TKE gets only instead of having an NSM, it has a T-bomb. It has a T-bomb instead of an NSM.
Right.
I would okay. The note here is like note: all attempts to convince ADB to give the TKE an NSM have failed and will always fail, as doing so would turn the battle into a gamble over whether enemy hit the NSM or not.
Oh, pretty much. I mean, if they run into it, it's incredibly overwhelming. As far as a 1 point, one spot of damage goes, and it devastates everything in, a certain radius. So,
Oh, agreed. But here, to me,
I know from the original thing, it's a big deal.
right, and more to the point, I don't think it really would give a TKE a with adding an NSM would be a failure if you're not using hidden, if the NSM is not hidden. I think that. That is the one where it is a gamble. You know, where that would make it a very frustrating game to play. I agree there. But I see no reason. Yeah, hidden mines aren't optional. I know that. But course, got the webs and so forth. And of course, narrow salvage are out and. No one could ever convince anyone that Nair Salvos are a good thing in tournament play. Actually, I'm pretty sure Nair Salvos are also outlawed in the 500 BPV tournament. I'd have to double check.
I wouldn't be surprised because I believe you guys basically, other than adding in like rules like the EW stuff, I wouldn't be surprised if that's banned there. Because, yeah.
Oh, that's what that is. Reset the zoom. Okay. I just want to see. Whoa. I'm gonna look at this for one more because I did a quick search for 1.6 and I don't see it. No.
What, narrow salvos?
Yeah. In the 500 BPV tournament.
Oh, I have no idea. Maybe it is. You could always just ask the tournament director.
I will definitely ask
Does
the
he have
tournament.
anything that says normal tournament rules apply except for,
Ooh.
then we're adding all this stuff?
Yeah. All rules allow the standard tournament are in effect with additional following rules. Okay. Yep.
Okay, there you go then.
Yep.
So,
There it
yeah,
is.
it's banned then.
Yep. Okay.
Very happily banned.
Yeah, oh.
Could you imagine that with like all those prox torps?
Oh Lord, oh Lord.
30 prox torps. Ha ha ha. Narrow salvo, no.
Well,
Yeah.
Well, bad enough when you have 20 and the
On a
thing
one
is,
to four to
well,
hit.
the thing is with Narsalvos, again, Narsalvos are per ship, not.
Yeah, but you know, four torpedoes.
Oh yeah. Oh.
They hit there. That's that four photons. That's painful.
Oh, don't I know it?
Oh yeah, you do.
Which is why you bring it up, don't you? Just inflict more pain on me.
I think we all know it hurts. Show me where they touched you with the bad torpedo and the photons. The evil Federation. There you go.
Okay, this is mainly ship. Dun-dun-dun, same next combat, showing borders, yeah, whatever. I just want to make sure we don't hit anything. Can you do that? I was looking at
Use what?
the specialized drones. I know you can do certain things. Speed upgrades, obviously. You can actually buy an extra Type 1M drone, which is 1.5 points per drone. And it can't be used for a second scatter pack, which is, again, that is an interesting rule. And well, that's actually one of those rules, again, it's for balance of play, which is basically you're not allowed to take drones out of your drone rack and use them, or even your reloads. Actually, you don't have reloads in tournaments. Do you have reloads in tournaments? Yeah, no
Yes and
reloads.
no.
Yep, no reloads.
You have the potential. I think there's one or two ships that can take their scatter pack and unload it,
Yes, yeah.
and that's it.
Yes, you.
But, oh, the one guy was doing something with his doing something funky with the extra drones. With his, he was using unloading his scatter packs or something. And then transferring the drones to another ship. So
Oh.
that guy got like full reloads or something.
Oh, you're
There was
talking.
somebody
Are you talking
abusing
about
some
Justin
kind
in
of
the
thing.
500 BP tournament where he was actually doing
Until
cargo
he got caught.
transfers?
Yeah.
That was for the first 500, which he didn't realize it was illegal at the time. Like, okay, that's fine. But yeah, the one thing, obviously, the one kind of sneaky thing you can do, with tournament play is. When you get the scatter pack, which has basically extra drones in it per se, you can either once you can actually completely remove them from the scatter pack, which I don't think there's a single person out here that would play a drone either the Klingon or the Zitti and not use that scatter pack. Now, one of the sneaky stuff, one thing that some people do. Is they will remove like one drone from the scatter pack. Why? Because they want to make people believe that they've actually swapped out one of their type ones for a type four in the scatter pack. So, you can possibly do it. Obviously, if you want to, you can actually transfer all of the drones out of the scatter pack and have reloads available. Which, in a way, could be the only reason you'd ever, in my mind, that you'd ever want to do that is if you don't plan on using the scatter pack. Again, I don't think there's anyone out here that actually would not use a scatter pack in the Zinni or the Klingon. Because that the scatter pack allows you to have a very large swarm of drones.
All of a sudden.
All of a sudden, exactly. But you can there you can put them all in
As long as
reloads,
your shuttle doesn't get blapped.
and the only reason I would ever imagine you'd ever want to do that is if you plan on having a long running game. I mean, a long running game, where
Which does happen. I think I have seen some people do it in the past at Origins. I don't remember hearing about it in tournament play much, though, online.
I have heard about them unloading like one or two drones from their scatter pack, and then I think actually was it a scatter pack or was it drone ramp?
It would be the scatter pack. Although
You can
you
do either
could,
one.
if you figured you were going to lose a drone rack,
Right.
you could unload it
Yeah, because that's the one thing I was thinking about
beforehand. The
was.
problem is it takes a deck action and stuff like that. It's covered under certain rules.
Right. Yeah, but the thing is, launching shuttles themselves doesn't take a deck action. Doesn't take a deck crew action. But yeah, I remember yeah the one there was an article, a Gold Hat article written for Origins that they actually did do that where they launched their drone rack and they reloaded it with one drone. And it was like late in the game and they actually were able to launch it, which surprised their opponent. And I'm not sure, I don't remember where they got that drone from, whether it was from their scatter pack or whether they unloaded from one of their other drone racks in anticipation that they would lose one of their drone racks during the game, and therefore they were saving one of their drones for the explicit purpose of reloading it, which I can see that. I can see someone doing that just because invariably, if you definitely expect this to get internals, you're gonna get a drone wreck dead.
Probably high probability of it,
Yeah, and
the more damage you take.
right, and you can repair a drone B rack, which is what you've got when it comes to the Zinni, the Klingons and the
And then put your
Wends,
drone back in it. Yeah.
and you can easily put that drone back in it. So like I said, if you're expecting internals and expecting losing a drone rack, it behooves you to be able to do that. Of course, the problem is you have to take that drone rack offline and not use it for the entire turn,
Yeah, so.
which actually can easily be arranged that you not use either one of the drone racks for the one turn and just, oops, I forgot to launch my drones this turn.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't think of anything in particular that I would just yank from the tournament. Or particular, because basically you've already modified the rules for online play.
Well, the only big thing when it comes to online play that was changed is pretty much is how the time
Time
limits
limits.
occur, which is the time limits are pretty much on 2 week through 3 weeks or 2 weeks, depending upon the round basis. And that means you've got anywhere as long as the players can get together, they can play as long as they want. I mean, when it comes to the actual amount of time that they actually play, against each other. So, but
Yeah, I see absolutely no reason to change that.
yeah.
So.
Understood. Now, since we're on the topic of tournaments, I figured I'd bring it up. I might have brought it up before. I was going through all the tournament ships. In fact, I'm pretty sure I did, but I'm gonna bring it up anyway. Which is now, none of these have been approved, been checked off. Which is some of the fast ships, meaning the two-third movement ships. Now, the only one that they actually did agree to, actually two of them the version we're listed here, Bridge of the Jindarian, that one, which is so weak. I don't know of a single person. Actually, I think Peter Bakiya played it in 1-1 just for fun.
Heck of it.
Yep. And I think currently the Vudar are allow are in the tournament too.
I have no idea. They could have conjectural ones, experimental ones, play testing ones. Oh. Ah. Just don't try to throw the Omega guys in there. That might be bad for balance. Because pretty much, they're not really balanced for the Empire ships. Don't think so.
Oh, agreed there. Agreed there. Pardon for the delay in responding. I got cramps in both my legs.
Oh,
Yep,
sorry to
so
hear that.
yeah. Watching it on video, you'll notice that there is no person sitting in the chair. Oh.
Are you gonna have to cut short and go to the hospital, or
No.
you gonna drink some water and be okay?
Well, I've been drinking water. I'm not used to having
You
it.
think it's just the weather changing shift thing?
I don't know. It's the first time I've ever had it while I'm just sitting down. Usually, I get these kind of cramps. This is even a new one for me, which is the back of the legs. Usually, it's the front of the legs, and that's in the middle of the night. I make sure, I do my best to eat my banana. I get my potassium, I take magnesium. The idea is. Also, try to drink plenty of water so that my I don't have.
Well, when the weather shifts like this, you can get unexpectedly dehydrated too, because your body's running at a different metabolic rate to keep your heat up, and you're generally adjusting to the cold weather, so
Well, that.
it could be an issue right there.
Yeah, that's the only difference today, which I'm hoping that's not the issue. Which is, I'm actually wearing a sweater today versus my hoodie. Not sure that changed, but I doubt it. That would seem kind of weird to me. Hi. Okay. Let's One leg's good, the other leg's still kind of twitchy. Think I'm good. I think I'm good. It's still a little crampy, but I think I'm good for the moment. So, anyhow, see if I can give me a sec here. Da-da-da, because I want to bring them up so people can see the SSDs. Are these all these? Let me just open. Okay. There. Dun, 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 dun. Bring up the alternate ones. One that I don't think ever would ever, 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 ever enter in, which is the Orion Tournament Heavy Cruiser. It's heavily modified. And at least in my mind, limited the option rack op options for get six optional weapons, but four of them are defined are limited to okay, got two of them are limited to phaser ones, drone racks, or fusion. And that's two of them, and the other two of them are either drone rack drone B or plasma D rack. I think that's pretty much a no-go for most people. That's why I wanted to skip that one altogether. And let me do this. That's okay, and let me just move this over just maybe a little. No, actually looks fine. And that is the hydrogen tar cruiser, which is an interesting ship by itself. It has three hellbores, which is kind of powerful. But the thing is, obviously the issue with this ship is that you got three hellbores. Well, you got 2/3 movement. So this would be, what, 24 here between these two? Yep, 24 warp. You got 24 warp, 4 impulse, which makes it 28. And how many APRs?
3 APRs. He's kind of glass cannony.
So he's got 31 power, but can you imagine trying to overload all three hellbores at the same time? That's right there.
Yeah, he's got the problem that all of the... all the war cruiser ones have is that they're like glass cannons. They can do it, but they become incredibly catchable. And once they're catchable, they're toastable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that guy is one that you might want in a knife fight, but you might also want to just not be in a knife fight for a long time, too.
Right.
That's one where you could be like rolling your hellbores and just
mm-hmm.
dipping in, hitting with phasers till you get a shield down enough, and then you start cycling through them like one a turn.
Right.
And if you end up in the knife fight, you can start overloading stuff.
And of course, here's.
You might as well, because you're going to die
mm-hmm.
point blank range to anybody.
And here's the problem with the Tartar, which is. It's got 2 phaser ones, 4 phaser twos, 2 phaser Gs, and then 3 hellbores. So it makes it, in my mind, incredibly difficult to get that punch into a shield so your hellbores will be affected.
Yeah, they're subtlety ships.
Yep.
All of the war cruiser mod ones are subtlety ships initially. You can overrun with them and be extremely dangerous, but at the end of the day, they're all subtlety ships because you have to avoid getting hammered early. You can't run in like a Fed and take that point blank fight. You can't run in like the regular Hydron, because those are all cruisers. And these are like war cruiser designs, and they're really like kind of thin on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
They're crunchy.
Oh, okay.
And yeah.
The only benefit here with the Hydron Tartar when it comes to having just hellbores is that means they will get hit on drone racks. That's mm-hmm. it. You don't have 2 heavy weapons being hit. Cannot be hit in the same DAC.
Same way as the Torps, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On the DAC, does Torp cover a drone hit?
No. A drone hit is a roll of a 3. A Torp hit
no,
is
no,
a
no.
roll of a
I
11.
Mean, like... Yeah, when you roll that 11, if there's no torp to hit, what do you hit next?
Phaser.
Okay, that's what I thought. So, yeah. Yeah, it definitely reduces what you can get hit for, but on the other hand, one torp hit there is a third of your main firepower.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which kind of blows. So you need to have that sucker used before it gets killed.
Agreed. And
at least once.
My guess is that for this ship, those phaser twos would have to be upgraded to phaser ones.
No. The ship is balanced a certain way, and it's like I think that that would probably start getting it into overbearing territory.
Maybe. Because
the strength of him is that if he gets one of your shields down, he can just Mitzia you to death. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, once you have any shield down, he doesn't have to get close to you anymore. Those things are super accurate. I mean, if you wanted to run it as a nice subtlety ship, you could easily sort of maybe, you know, run it in near range, pop up all your bearing phaser twos, and use the, I think, is like a, what the heck do they call it with the hellbore? There's a direct fire version of it. Use right. The direct fire hellbore.
Yeah, you can do a direct fire hellbore, which is 50% of the warhead strength.
Damage, yeah. On, but it's on the facing shield.
Right, exactly.
So you could go in, you could do a run past, and if you hit with all three of them and your phasers, that's a shield that's down, and you run away for like two turns. And when you come back, even if he has that shield away from you and reinforced, you're going to probably be able to start getting internals on him using your hellbores at range.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but it's also an oddball one because it doesn't really fit the main gist of what you expect for the Hydrans. You would expect to have four hellbores. And maybe some phaser ones and some other stuff, but that might be too overpowering. And,
no,
you know, if it's too overpowering, they're going to boot it from the tournament.
Oh, agreed. Well, it's not even in tournament at the moment. It might not be accepted. Agreed. As I said, the biggest issue is going to, I see at the moment, is just power. Compared to, because the hellbores are not cheap when it comes to.
No, they're not. Tourism. But on the other hand, you only have three of them instead of four.
Yeah.
And that two-thirds movement thing, does it have some power besides that can go to that?
Nope.
Doesn't it have any AWR, APR?
It has an APR, but. That's a total of 31 points of power.
Okay. But he only needs, like, what, 20 to go a decent battle speed?
20 points all when it comes to warp is 30, speed 30.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, out of 31, you minus 4 for standard, you know, stuff, which that makes it 27 available. Then you have.
If he's rolling
the hellbores, that's 9 points.
If he's going like
right
22
there.
Or 24, he can probably be rolling all his hellbores.
Right.
Because, you know, the other thing is he could just go in, shoot you with them, run away for a turn, and come back in and see if he can get another pass on the same shield. Those things are accurate as can be.
Oh, understood.
But yeah, it's
mm-hmm.
It's one of those things.
Yep.
It's kind of one of the it's an oddball one that it can't really walk and chew gum at the same time very easily, and you really have to be super careful with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would consider the LDR to be a better ship to run, personally.
Mm-hmm. Well, that one's
simply because it's much more robust and it's built for the dance,
right?
So to speak.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah, moving onward to the ISC tournament medium cruiser, which is ISC without a plasma torpedo. Oh, without a PPD. Let me correct that. It's got the two. Actually, no, it has a PPD. Sorry, it does have a PPD. It has two plasma Gs with an FP. So it's not right. it's not RPLP for the phaser G, plasma Gs, not phaser Gs, FPs, and it has a PBD. Now, obviously, just like any other medium cruiser, it has less power. Amount of phaser ones, it's got 6 phaser ones total and 4 phaser threes. And it does have what the actual, I'm pretty sure the other IC tournament, which has, let me just double check this, because I think they actually have one per. Nope, I'm missing it. Don't mind. Okay, there's the IC. That's
when. I think some of those are from the basic.
Right.
Just well, we did these other war cruiser versions. We might as well do this one too.
Right. Oh, understood. But I want to look at them anyway, because I'm also going to stick with the theme of tournament. I didn't have another topic for this evening. That's related to SFB.
Oh, Lego SFB. Lego SFB.
Nah. I haven't had a chance to actually think about that some more. That's a topic I'd have to think through.
But it'd be great for the kids.
I understood.
You get to take your ship apart as they damage it. So.
Now, it has 4 plasma Fs. Now, they are still under the rear plasma F restrictions. I mean, you can't just launch 4 plasma Fs unless they're small targets, because they're purely defensive. So you can't fire 4 plasma Fs directly at your opponent. Now, obviously, the benefit of having the 4 plasma Fs is that you can actually go around, because they're zero power when it comes to holding.
The hold.
So you can easily run around the board without having to recharge your plasma F after you use them.
But again, they make nice tail chasers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
When somebody comes after you.
Yep.
And even though you can't use all of them at once, I think if that's the rule, they're still annoying.
Yeah,
to somebody coming after you.
Yeah, I have to look up R13C1. Actually, I'm wondering. Want to see if didn't explicitly mention it. I know it's still in play.
What's that?
R13C1. That's the one that limits what the plasma Fs can relaunch that. Oh, there it is. Okay. Mm. Here it is. They actually explicitly say it. The rear firing torpedoes are under restriction to R13.C1. Forgive me. No more than one can be launched at a ship during any given turn or within quarter turn turn period. Both can be fired during a quarter turn period during one or two turns if or both are launched at a non-ship targets. Both have IC firing arcs to track in the LLR and RR plus R, rear plus R and left rear plus L, but launch only in direction C and E, standard kind of thing. The rear launching plasma Fs can be destroyed on drone or torpedo damage if the plasma F is only hit on either type left. It must be destroyed if a hit of that type is scored. If a destroyed plasma F is repaired as a plasma F and repaired, the repair plasma F could be hit by either damage point again. And obviously, the PPD is a better weapon than the Plasma F. So obviously the third internal. Now, there are some special rules for the medium one, which is again same launch issues. But in the case of the medium cruiser, the rear firing plasmas cannot be destroyed on drone. Its playtesting may indicate this is necessary, but since this is in fact an intact CM, testing will begin with no special non-IC rules. Note that this, as this is a CL-based hull, there are only four batteries, and the movement cost is two-thirds. Just a reminder that it doesn't have the five. So the plasma Fs would be in the rear, would actually be hit on plasma Fs. And the if you get oh, that's nasty. And that is, if you get a drone hit, bing. I'm pretty sure. I have to double check whether the plasma that the PPD is hit on torp or drone.
Oh, I forget.
I forget myself. It might be just torp because it's plasma.
Yeah, well, are the plasma Fs hit on torp or are they hit on drone as well?
Just torp. For the medium cruiser, it's
Just
only for torp.
okay.
As mentioned in the rules that I just read, this is basically a light cruiser intact. Even though it's called a medium cruiser, I'm not sure why. So,
Oh, you're not alone.
Now, obviously, overall, the weaponry looks, in my mind, better than the regular cruiser. Let's check the one thing, which is one two, okay, one two three four five six. Yeah, both the regular Sherman cruiser and the medium cruiser for ISC both have six plasma phaser ones, and obviously the plasma Gs have. Arguably, and I do say arguably, because there is some argument over whether FP launchers are better than RPLP launchers. I as I've mentioned before, I prefer like the Kestrel or the Kestrel over the Firehawk because Firehawk has FP torps for. Versus the Kestrel, which has RPLP, which allows you to actually fire launch the plasmas while you're being chased. But that's my obviously that means that in this case the medium cruiser has to be more aggressive because it only can launch the plasma Gs when it's facing its opponent. And of course, the issue with plasma Fs. Is that it has to be you have to have it if you want to launch any of the plasma Fs, it has to be left side or right, sorry, left or right arcs, and then unless it's being chased. So, if you are doing an attack and fire once want to launch one of the plasma Fs, which is going to be easily one hex behind the G torp because of it's going to. Go out. I think it's C and E directions. Yeah. So it won't be going the same direction as the plasma G. And obviously but it has good movement, and this is always the question when it comes to two-thirds movement versus one, regular one movement cost ships. And that is, of course, the one movement cost ships have more power. But when it comes to movement, obviously the two-thirds, which has less power, has less cost for movement. So doesn't make up for it, but doesn't even out. That you have less power overall, but you have less power cost when it comes to movement. You know, but I'd actually like to see the ship tested out. Again, as I pointed out, I think it's a very aggressive ship when it comes to attacks. It doesn't, unlike the normal IC tournament cruiser, it doesn't have to worry about kind of center lining their opponent. After you hit it with the PBDs, you know, you can still get both plasma Gs launched. Now, would you do that at the same time? You probably would not do that at the same time. You know.
You never know.
You never know.
There's so much conjectural. It's like circumstantial. So much is circumstance. And your battle plan and stuff. So, who knows?
Definitely. I think it'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to see how it turns out, especially with the one rule that doesn't have the tweak rule, which is that the plasma Fs get hit on drone hits, because I can understand why they did that. In I'm assuming the PBD get hit on the torp and not drone at the moment, because if the PBD gets hit on drone, yeah, that then the plasma Fs provide protection for the PBD, versus the whole idea of having the plasma Fs being hit on drone, that it allows, it basically makes it a little more easily to get the heavy weapons hit versus just the plasma Fs being hit on plasma. I'm on torque. You know. Yes, the Frax Terminator Cruiser. It's actually, it's a movement cost one ship. But yeah, we don't always interesting about that, because obviously for those of you watching, and actually you can, that is the disruptors. You have two disruptor, which is FX, two disruptor, which are RX. So it's mainly oriented towards firing broadside, either on the right side or left side, but not straight ahead, not straight back. You know, because especially if you want to get all four disruptors to hit, you have to do it on the side, or at the very least, have it be right on direct on the oblique. On the oblique, you can do the same thing. Oh, I would never want to see this guy on the freaking tournament. Which is the Flivver Tournament Cruiser. It mention anything about the Flivver? Oh yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
The
Yeah.
Flivver Tournament Ship, one of the most unusual of the conjectural empires. Yeah, this was the one of the training module. I think it's C4. I think it is. Flivver ships are famous for the ability to move sideways and even backwards. Their special drones, the hyper drones, are deadly under tournament conditions. Many players have found this empire to be a particular excitement, and their campaign for a tournament ship is rewarded with this. I'll bet unsanctioned SSD. This ship does have hover warp and hyper drones. It has no reloads for the hyper drone racks, and its cargo box have been deleted. It cannot use E55.24 to load standard drones. It can only use hyper drones. Oops, sorry. That. I hated this sucker. As
Tell me how you really feel.
I played against this in the Andromedan, and the problem is those hyper drones, as they flying across the board, and it's hard to stop them. because I don't have, because they kept coming at me, and I'd run out of phasers before, you know, before they hit. So, and that's the biggest issue, is that if you don't have that many phasers, you're in trouble against the hyper drones. Let me look at this. Oh yeah, wow. I totally forgot that was so weird. The ship is actually box like, but the front, there's the center warp, which has 12 center warp, has 9 left warp and 9 right warp. And this is a movement cost of 1. So that's, yeah, so that's 30, right? No, 12. Yeah, that's 30 for warp. It's got 2 impulse, so 32. And no APRs. 5 batteries. There's 2 shuttles. And 4 shuttles. But as weird as it looks like, because you have 2 shuttle here, 2 shuttles here, it says here the ship has only 1 shuttle bay. So it doesn't have that much power, but with the hyper drones, my understanding, the hyper drones don't cost you anything to load. The fire. So you got 6 phaser ones, you've got 4 hyper drone racks, and 3 phaser threes. So now, hull wise, it doesn't have much. It's got what, 7 forward hull and 7 rear hull? You know, that doesn't have much padding at all. Because as pointed out, it actually usually has cargo. This had no cargo. They removed that. So there's the Vudar, the Borak. Never played with that. Because obviously the weird part is this guy, the Mega Phaser. It's basically the Mega Phaser has a firing arc of a Mauler.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
They basically took a... did they just basically take a Type 4 phaser and just wrap a ship or engines around it?
Pretty much. Pretty close to phaser 4. It might be a little less. Yeah, let me just... Don't mind me. I want to look at one thing real quick and then wrap it up. I just want to see, did they mention anything about the Borak? There it is, Borak. New Empire was added sort of the universe, and tournament ship has not been fully tested. The version published here is the first in an effort to balance this empire and its new weapons, which, of course, this actually was published according to the SSD. It was published back in 2011, so it's only been around for 13 years, so it's kind of relatively new. Which sounds weird if you think about it. Something that's 13 years old is new. So,
yeah.
Anyhow, with that, I think we will wrap it up for this evening. I'm sure there's some people out there say, oh, I'd like to play the Borak. I'd like to play the Borak. I think that'd be interesting. I think it'd be interesting too.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's something for everybody out there in this.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I missed the Paladine. What's this one?
Dun, dun, dun. What's that?
The Drowning Crate. It's marked as playtest. Yes. No freaking way, ma'am.
Why not?
It's got 3 batteries. Okay, that's what they did. They killed it with.
Oh, okay.
They had 6, only 6 hull and only 2 cargo.
Enjoy your explosion.
Yeah, exactly. Has the TR heavies, so that's nice.
Until
But
you
I
explode.
really feel that it needs more power, period. So I mean, really running actually generating power like APR, especially given that it's only got three batteries. So anyhow, I think we'll wrap it up with that. Doug, it's been a pleasure to have you
Yay.
around. Is there anything that you want to plug while we're here?
Gamers and Winners eventually coming up. If the website doesn't work for a day or two, that's okay. I'll be putting it back online. It's that time of year. I don't have all the notices. I haven't been shut off or anything, but that I'm aware of. But usually all my stuff comes due in November for the web hosting. But yeah, Gamers a Winner. I mean, let's get something going. There's apparently a bunch of people in New Jersey and a bunch of people in Maryland that like to play SFB, and you are short drives. So.
Just let you know, Gamers the Winner, the website is still up. GamersTheWinner.net
Yay!
is still up.
Yeah, I got to pay the domain names this month. So. That's due in like a week.
Yeah, it's
Okay.
an
Yeah, other than that, I don't have anything to really plug for. It's just give me a schedule, Paul. I mean, that would be nice.
Yep, we'll
The
do.
actual schedule of what you want to have officially on the list of things to do. And then if we could add to it with maybe somebody's group coming in from somewhere and somebody else's group coming in from somewhere else. Maybe we could have a whole bunch of people do a big event. I mean, it's like this is the perfect kind of spot to come out and do like something that takes 20 people, like Operation Cavalry, and everybody has their own ship, or wedding. Tholian wedding cake, and everybody's got their own ships, and one poor guy gets to be the Tholian base commander, who, something like that. I don't know. It's just a thought. I mean, oh, hey, Legos. We could do a 3D printing thing and Legos where, if somebody who's listening to us is design inclined for making the STLs for the 3D printing thing. We could make an outline of like the ships for a particular scenario or generic ships for like 500 point fleets out of like some captain's logs where they've had those fleet submissions, if you remember those. And basically 3D print an SSD outline that you could pop the Legos onto to make a standard ship. And then play it out with like actually popping the pieces off when they get blown away. So that's just kind of a, off the wall thought I had for that. I thought it would be kind of neat to do.
Oh yeah, agreed.
Something different. And it doesn't necessarily have to look like a Constitution class ship, but you could have the outline of it for the SSD
Right,
where all the
right.
boxes going on it. And you could have a saucer shaped outline. You could have it outlined, like they do on an SSD where they've got the original ship outlined and all the boxes inside and just have the spots where you clip on the Legos. Yeah, it's a thought. I don't know. Or we could also do like a Starfleet Marine thing. Or we could do something where do the deck plans for a ship and do prime directive boarding action kind of thing or something. I don't know. There's all sorts of different things we could do at the convention for this. But it helps a lot if we have, like, you know, just players coming in to do them.
Right.
And have fun with it. Mm-hmm. So, that's about all I got for now. If you want to chat for a couple minutes when we're done, I'll be right here.
Sure.
I got a question or two then. So.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, you have a good night.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me on again.
You're welcome. So, a nice discussion about tournaments, cruisers, and the tournament itself. Obviously, most of the things there's no problem with when it comes to moving it to online. You know, and those medium cruisers, which I don't think many people actually have played and done any play testing on. It'd be interesting to get some people together to play it, you know, or just take it upon yourself and say, oh, okay, I want to play this ship, and then see if you can get some people to say, yeah, I'll fight against you, you know. I think that'd be great, you know. Whether it's the ISC, don't do the flavor, please don't do the flavor. Actually, I have to check to see if in the Borac's in the client. The flavor might be there, but I don't think the Borac is. I'd have to double check on that one. But, you know, I'm pretty sure the medium tournament group is in there. And I have to check the other ones. But anyhow, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.